that the new Crystal Cups we just got? They're very nice. I'm thinking somebody probably got the good stuff. I probably got ripped off. Let me ask Ms. McCool then. I brought you a binder.
This is the time for public comments. If you have any comments that you would like to make that is not on the agenda, this is the time that I would appreciate if you would come to the, well, please come to the podium for the purpose of recording and speak into the microphone and address the board. Anybody with any comments?
Yes, my name is Dave Cerulli, and I'm vice president of the Discovery Bay Property Owners Association. And after we made front page news of the local newspaper, I thought I ought to stop by and make a couple comments. First of all, I don't know if all of you saw the article in the paper in the Sunday Times, and there's an article in there about city blight and the problems that Antioch is having coming up with money to enforce codes. And basically that's what the DBPOA does. But we have had problems. There have been some serious problems in the association. The board that's in there now is trying very hard to correct things and make things proper. However, not allowed to do that. We had an election last summer, and the people that were elected were vowing to keep the association going. There were three people who were not elected that wanted to shut the association down. I believe a couple of those people spoke at the meeting you had last week. One of our directors didn't like that, so she is suing the former president of the board and the election inspector from the last election, asking to have the election overturned, even though it was quite overwhelmingly in favor of the people that wanted to keep the association going. And basically that's what we want to do, is help Discovery Bay, help keep the property values up, and do what we can. I joined the association or the board and ran for the board because I had a beef. But the proper way of settling beefs is to try to get involved and try to make things right, not trying to go around and come in the back door. So right now we're faced with a recall election of all seven board members with two petitions. Six members are on one petition, the remaining members on the other petition. This election, we have hired an attorney to oversee the election to make sure everything is done properly. And I think the issues that are before the town, or before not the town, but the DBPOA members, are going to be clearly saying we want to shut the thing down, or we want to keep things going, and we want to make things as good as possible. And basically, that's all I have to say. I thank you for your time tonight, and hope we don't have to do it again.
Thank you. You know, there may be others that want to speak on this issue, and if there are, that's fine. but I need to make something clear, as was recommended to me by our counsel, and that is that we are here somewhat as a forum for items that pertain to Discovery Bay and are within the jurisdiction of the area of Discovery Bay by territory, but when it comes to specific things, there's those that we don't have any jurisdiction or decision over, and this is one of those things. We have absolutely no ability to do anything about anything that's going on out there with regards to the DBPOA. It's completely out of our jurisdiction. We don't. There's just no instrument that we have that we can work with, and I just want to make that clear. Although if people want to talk about it, that's fine, but there's really absolutely no action we can take. I want to make that clear. So if there anybody else wants to speak? Any other public comments? Okay. Moving along to our area agency reports, let us start with Lieutenant Burton.
Good evening.
How you doing, Mike?
I say this reluctantly. Overall, it's been a fairly quiet period for us out here. We continue to see the crime rate sort of just maintain a very low level, which obviously is good. We're still seeing the same sort of all of the burglaries on there where the suspect didn't have to do much to gain access. In one case, they were adamant the back slider was locked. Those things happen. So, again, it's that public education that we keep seem to be coming back to. The resident deputies continue to do a fantastic job. If you have a warrant and you live in Discovery Bay, you're going to jail. Just accept it. On the way out, I couldn't recall if I mentioned at the last meeting that SMAC group, Sheriff Livingston suspended that group. Okay, I can recall if I at which point my meeting were. So, the annex continues to be a real positive. Tony's going to be off for a couple of weeks, so you won't see that place open quite as much. He's moving, so he's painting and doing all the stuff that most guys dread, new furniture and things like that. So. Overall, there was really nothing outstanding. The terrorist threats in there was known people. Guy makes some threats to burn down a guy's house because he's mad at him. He drives by, chucks a rock through the window. Police are called. We take the guy into custody. He goes to jail. It's very straightforward. And other than that, I don't really have anything. Do you have anything? Any questions on the report?
How you guys still have a great supply of volunteers for that. They were here for our recognition.
Yeah, we did a volunteer recognition luncheon because the sheriff has a group called SAVES, and it's all the volunteers countywide. They go through an application process in the background. They get ID cards and that sort of thing. And they did a SAVES luncheon, and we had a full table from the folks from Discovery Bay.
Good.
So that was kind of neat. But yeah, they continue to
do
a
awesome
great job. I wish I had more for them to do. I wish the place was bigger, the station was bigger, so there was more for them to do because they really are just full of energy and positive.
How many hours are we going to do?
The station is open. Tony starts his day in Oakley. So driving time from Oakley to when he gets to the station and opens it, and that's barring if he's got other meetings or other items to take care of. But we try and have it open kind of on business hours, Monday through Friday, kind of a maybe 9 to 4. It's probably pretty close. The volunteers, I'm reluctant to have them there a lot by themselves. Although Tony's not a police officer, I you you never know what kind of wackadoo is going to walk into a place where the sheriff's not on it. I just wouldn't want to put anybody in a position of feeling uncomfortable. There continues to be energy through the P6 group, towards how they can contribute even more and do more. I think we talked about at the last meeting that a lot of energy towards trying to maintain that SRO program, do maybe a joint, partnership between the P6 group and the sheriff's office to do a couple of days. The guy's a resident deputy, a couple of days as an SRO. Deputy Elaine is the new SRO. I get nothing but glowing remarks from Mr. Giacopetti over there and the staff. In his time there, I think he's done more than his previous two people combined in terms of just energy and positive. He's into archery. It's a hobby of his, and he's beginning this archery program at the middle school. It's going to be an after-school program. He got, I think, a dozen compound bows donated along with, I think, 75 of the nice arrows, big targets. He was hitting me up yesterday, can we scrounge up a couple of bucks to buy the kids T-shirts, put them as the archery program and get a little mileage out of that. And I just really, those guys, the guys that work for me, I really try and give them as much room to move as I can. I want them to get in there and feel like, hey, I can take this thing in a whole other direction. And so he's going to be hitting up a couple of the local businesses for, some small donations, water, sodas, and that kind of thing for the kids to have.
That's Dave.
David Elaine.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Tell him to contact the yacht club. It's called the Splashers. They do community outreach. They do a lot of things like that. And
okay.
If you get her name, Pat Anderson.
Yeah, they don't need a lot. They just need a little something to get them off the ground and keep the kids happy. Some T-shirts and that sort of thing. So if you see David around, he's a big guy, real friendly. Introduce yourself. He's a very nice man, perfect guy for the job, and he is a Discovery Bay resident.
Yeah, the whole family is very active in the community,
yeah,
and good people. Any other questions from the board?
Question. I just wanted to say that I hate seeing so many things here, but out of what I do like seeing is I do like seeing, Deputy Spaulding's name and Deputy Hamblin's name so often, and it really makes you realize how much they're doing out here, and I think that's fantastic.
It really is, and when I, as a deputy, work in the same area, you get to know who's who, and it really becomes very obvious. Out here, it's more it's a different type of community than a lot of the other areas we work in. So for those guys to be able to know who's in what car and know the knuckleheads that are in town, it's invaluable.
It's nice to be known.
they're amongst this community, not in the room, but amongst the community.
Okay, I want to be clear on that. Any questions from the public with regards to? And you can ask from the floor if you don't have to get up. If you have a question for the lieutenant, anybody? Okay, well, thanks for coming out again, Mike. Appreciate the report. Nice job. I don't believe the CHP is here. I believe that Chief Henderson's here this evening. Hey, Chief.
Good evening. Chief Burris is going to be off for a couple months on an injury, so... it's a old workers' comp injury that they're working out. So I'm going to try to fill in for him and kind of fill a couple shoes and everything. Kind of a quick little district update before we get into the calls for service and everything. As you're aware of, I know at your last meeting, you know that Director Finetti did resign from the board. The district has been working with the CAO's office and the Board of Supervisors for working on that replacement. Those applications are now available for filling that position. The applications do close on March 15th, and then they'll go through the process. The district is urging the Board of Supervisors to try to make that happen as fast as possible. Our next board meeting is next Monday, March 7th. At that board meeting, it's going to start at 5:30. We're going to start early. It'll be a special meeting, And the big item that's going to be there on the agenda is we're going to be doing a workshop to look at this benefit assessment. The consultant that we've hired to do the engineer's report will be there. It's going to be a workshop, so there can be lots of dialogue for the community and the board of directors to discuss with the engineer what the district should look like as they're building this benefit assessment. The timeline that we're on to this benefit assessment then at our April 4th meeting will be when that report's brought back. At that point, the board will have to make the decision to call for the election, take care of the proper Proposition 218 hearings, and to move forward. The ballots then would be issued out on April 20th, have to be returned back to the district as part of the election by June 6th, and with the results coming back in late June, whether the measure passed. So it would be key for community people. I put out a fairly lengthy press release for the Discovery Bay Press today, along with the Contra Costa Times, trying to get community members to come out and to interact with the board and the engineer as we kind of move forward with this. As far as your calls go, the calls for February of this year, Engine 59 responding from Dixler Road, responding to 54 calls. And I probably did this report a little different than you're used to seeing in format a little bit, but out of those 54 calls, six of them were fires, 36 medical emergencies, and then public service, or I call other calls, were 12. Of the six fires, actually, there was only one fire within Discovery Bay, and there was one vehicle fire. The other fires were on the other parts of the district that the engine responded to. I also attached this. You'll see the addresses and the locations of where those calls were. So I thought I'd give you a kind of little different perspective of what we're doing out here. With that, I'm open for any questions for you tonight.
Anybody on the board? Any questions? I like the I actually do like the change. It's kind of nice to see where, in fact, where they occurred. I was putting that in my calendar as you spoke. So 5:30 at the usual spot Monday.
Right.
And you expect that meeting to last how long?
I'm figuring it's going to be a 3 or 4 hour meeting. The reason we're doing it as a workshop, so it can be pretty free flowing and
interactive.
We're starting a little early so we don't run it too late and get a lot of involvement in there. It's, you know, we kind of talked back and forth of the format of that, and originally we were going to do it an hour to an hour and a half before the meeting and then go into that, but we put the workshop in the actual agenda and everything, so we'll go through the start of the meeting and then go into the workshop so we can legally go as long as the workshop needs to do to take care of answer everybody's questions.
Great. Thanks. You. Any questions or comments from the public for Chief Henderson? Director Dawson.
Chief Henderson, for the benefit assessment, when those ballots go out, only owners of property get to vote, right?
There are weighted ballots. They go to the property owner of each of the properties in the district.
Okay.
So there's roughly 44,000 parcels within the district, and I believe there's, out of those 44,000 parcels, there's about 38,000 property owners. And depending if a property is commercial versus residential versus agriculture, those are all weighted differently as part of the thing, and that's why you need an engineer to do the whole process.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you for coming.
Have a nice evening.
And as we said, we don't have a district representative at this point for the fire protection, so is Karen here? Hi, Karen.
Good Good evening. Want to start and remind everyone it's tax season, and there is a program called Earn It, Keep It, Save It, and it's a program to help low-income individuals with tax help. So if anyone knows anyone that could use some free tax help, tell them to look up Earn It, Keep It, Save It, or call our office for more information. Contra Costa County has enabled a new county widget on their website, which offers online assistance. You will get a live person from 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday that can answer questions that you type in. Where can I get a business license? What department should I contact for this issue? You're more than welcome to still contact our office. It's just another avenue for assistance, so look for that on the county website. I do have, from the East Bay Economic Development Alliance, three copies of their 2010 East Bay Indicators. It just gives a lot of good information for the area, so I will give one to the board. And I can leave two in the back for the public. As the chief mentioned, there was a resignation on the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. The county administrator's office is working to fill the position. The opening went before the board on Tuesday, and it was referred to the internal ops to appoint. So that is moving forward. If you know anyone that's interested, let them know to get their application into the county administrator's office. With the census came redistricting of the county districts. So watch for regional community meetings held by the Department of Conservation and Development this spring to talk about how the districts are going to look. Supervisor PIPO is continuing to work with the Department of Boating and Waterways, state and federal legislators, and other state agencies, as well as Reclamation District 800, your board, and the Bethel Island representatives on the Egeria Denza aquatic weeds matter. We need to make sure that the community stays supportive and engaged in a positive manner on this issue, and remember that it is a Delta and State issue, not a Discovery Bay issue. It's affecting the entire Delta, not just Discovery Bay's waterways and the bays. There's a lot at stake. Supervisor PIPO is hosting an upcoming meeting with all stakeholders to continue the discussion for the treatment this spring and in the future. And Supervisor PIPO will be planning community outreach, and we'll make sure the CSD and the community is aware of what's going on. And lastly, the Contra Costa County Coalition Aging Area Agency on Aging, the East County Senior Coalition, is having a Spring into Health event for seniors, health, and resource fair on March 23rd from 10 to 2 at the Brentwood Veterans Center. So please spread the word on this. That is it.
Thank you very much, Karen. Are there any questions for Karen from the board? Any questions or comments from the clarifications from the public? Wow, we have a quiet group tonight. Thank you, Karen. Committee reports. Dwayne's not here. Okay, no transplant, no county planning got actually canceled, I believe. The code enforcement, one of those got canceled. Okay. And nothing from special districts, that nothing has happened. So we're through that consent calendar.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Any discussion by the board? Okay. We just had a goal. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? New business and action items. Don't see any. Chair report and director's comments. I have not been to any meetings since the last meeting that we had, because all of mine happened to occur in the first week of the month. So I don't have anything to report necessarily. Does any reports from the district? Coming from the directors. Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
On February 17th, I attended the Byron Union School District Board of Trustees meeting. Our kids are being severely impacted by the budget shortfall at the state level. The teachers and the kids' parents are all, a lot of people are facing the downturn with their home prices, and There's a lot of stress in the family. Kids seem to be doing okay, but the district appears to be dwindling in their resources, and it looks like they're getting stretched pretty thin on what they can do and what they can't do, and it looks like they're going to have to start cutting some more classes and programs. And there was some good news that the kids are excelling on their test scores statewide and locally, and you know, the reading and their math is coming up, and you know, we're in a good, you know, we're above average, so that's a good sign out here. But I applaud the staff and the educators out there that they're sacrificing a lot to keep it together. And you know, it's going to take a lot of community involvement, you know, to keep this the schools as we know it running. So anyway, it was good. I also attended the Board of Supervisor Advisory Bodies training meeting out on February 28th. It was conducted by Lara Delaney from the County Administrator's Office, Marianne Mason, County Council's Office, and Arsenio Esquicero, the Clerk of the Board's Office. Some good discussion on our scope of our authority of these advisory boards. Went over Brown Act requirements, and they talked about the county's better government ordinance, which doesn't apply to the CSD, but it was a good discussion there. Talked about how they fill advisory body vacancies and appointments, and how they do the recruitment process. It was a full house in the meeting chamber, and you know, it's also available on the CCTV on Saturdays. The public can watch this this training and meeting. So,
thank you, Greg. Anything else? Director Dawson?
On the 22nd, I attended a special meeting for the Byron Union School District, in which, and I'm piggyback on some of the things that Chris said, they had to let go of 13.4 FTE, and that's a full-time equivalent. So that's 13 positions and pretty much a half. They broke it down throughout the district, whether it came from the middle school, whether it came from the elementary schools. We've lost psychologists and interventionists. We're losing a lot of art and music, and this was pretty much given to them by the county, who has been asked to come in and help them go over some stuff. So 13 positions, and the vote was unanimous. All the directors, you know, gave the speech that they didn't want to do this. It was no one's intention to fire people, but that this was something that had to be done. On the 26th, myself, Ray Tetro, Mark Simon, and Rick Howard attended the joint MAC meeting. There were some really good presentations, one by a man named Mike Painter, who's the president of the Delta Science Center Board. They're building a Delta Science Center in Oakley. It's in the process. What they do now is they take students and I guess other groups who come out on a boat and give them a hands-on education on the Delta. They catch fish. They go through they go through the dirt and get the mussels or whatever it was. Yeah, they deal with the whole habitat out to the bay. The problem with it is it costs around $4,000 a day to get the kids on buses and then on the program's boat, which is part of the problem they're having is funding. Gloria Sandoval from the Department of Boating and Waterways gave an update on the aquatic weed situation. Discovery Bay and Bethel Island are on the list for treatment this year, but the list is not finalized as of yet. The management plan created by Rec 800 in the county will be helpful in keeping Discovery Bay on the treatment list, but phone calls, emails, and letters to the Department of Boating and Waterways will continue to help Discovery Bay stay on that list. So if you have a concern about Ajuria densa, please send a letter, an email, or a phone call to the Department of Boating and Waterways. Glenn Howe, the director of CCC Animal Services, gave a presentation about his department, and they receive up to 500 to 600 calls a day throughout the county, and their main hours are 7 a.m. to 12 p.m., but they have a night drop-off area at both facilities, which are Martinez and Pinole. There's a dangerous dog ordinance, and there's a citywide leash law. The one good part of information was that the adoption rates for the county is at around 90%. I couldn't remember his name, but one of Federal Glover's staff members gave an update on the county's re-entry strategic plan. And for more information on that, I mean, I have information in what I'm turning in, but there's also a website, which is cocoreentry.org. So if you have any questions about the re-entry program, that's where you would get that information. There was MAC reports from Bethel Island. They've installed wake signs. The Heart Safe program has been successful. Byron is pretty much mirroring a lot of what Bethel Island is doing. They have the Heart Safe program. They also had shared some concerns about the corner of Camino Diablo and Byron Highway. Knighton now has a full board, so they are meeting, and there had quite a few people that are interested in a neighborhood watch program. They have reflective signs, a cleanup day is coming, and CPR and Red Cross training. So the supervisors each gave a report. There's a youth summit on April 16th in Antioch for anyone whose child would like to attend. There's also going to be a business summit and health safety fair coming up this summer. Supervisor Pifo reported on the solid barrier program moving forward on Vasco and that it should be done by the summer. The district is trying to reauthorize the double fine zones on Vasco. They're looking into some highway safety measures on Highway 4. They gave a brief update on the East County Government Center, which is going to be about 2.5 acres that they're looking to purchase to bring some of the county departments out here so you don't have to drive to Martinez. And we're going to have another booth at the state fair. Yeah, thank you.
Anything else?
No, that was the meeting.
Well, it sure was. And I just want to say that thank you for that comprehensive report because I don't feel like I missed a thing by not being there.
All you missed was serving a lunch.
I know.
Oh, well, yeah, but did you bring lunch for us?
No, I had the chicken. I think
okay,
everyone else had
that.
The beef.
Oh. Okay, nice job, Brian. Very comprehensive.
Thank you.
A little more detail next
time. You knew that was coming. Okay, it was a good report. Just kidding. Any other, Ray, do you have anything?
Well, I'd just like to say that in his very comprehensive report, he said, and the reentry program, and for those of us that may that don't know what the heck that is, reentry, what is that, from space? No, that's because the prisons are overcrowded, and they're going to be letting people out of state prisons back into the communities. So I'm sure we're all excited about that.
Supreme Court mandate.
Yeah, I know that.
That was a continuation of
but, thank you for that awesome report.
Was, yeah, thank you.
Director Simon, if I would dare answer that.
Okay, good job. Your turn. Manager's reports, starting with Farron.
Good evening.
Oh, let me guess, a PowerPoint presentation.
Death by PowerPoint.
Yeah, there's a one.
Thank you for that report. Next is the waste phone.
All right.
Friday. This area up here is the lunar burst. It is the climbing structure. Right below that is Omni Spinner. This is like almost like a merry-go-round. I actually have a video, so I have to just roll short for a moment and show you some of it. But what's neat about it is that it's also accessible, handicap accessible, and so we'll be trying to pull in some extra events here that would allow disadvantaged children to use the playground as well. This is called a, I'll try to remember, it's a spinner, it's a
It will actually be on our next agenda to provide comments back to the county
on what we
whether
see
or not we want our project to go forward.
Yeah.
Comments from the board?
I have. Good job. Can you just remind me what the Sandpoint Discovery Bay Boulevard, what does the sloped areas look like?
Well, there's just going to be a comment. We tried to pull design concepts from what happened here from Humboldt Lake, so there is a lot of other trails and trees that we're using on the levee. And then there were also, we used some new ones that stem from other areas this year. We're just trying to pull everything.
The carrier style?
Yeah.
Karen, what's the, are we leaving the Christmas lights up?
No. They're coming down.
I mean, they can stay up. They look good. But
oh, okay. Well, that's up to you guys.
I don't know what, what kind of energy consumption.
Do you want to take it, Rick? I'm sorry.
Karen and I discussed this the other day.
I've gotten comments from both sides. When people have come to me from both sides and said, hey, I like it. It looks good. And then other people say Christmas is over, so.
Yeah, as have I, and as has Farron, and I think probably Virgil as well, and probably pretty much every member of the board. When it came back a couple of months or so ago, the public had requested, got a number of calls or a number of comments, hey, it looks really great, can we leave it up a little bit longer? And Farron and I discussed it and decided, and I made the decision to leave them up until the time changes. And then the time will be changing a week from Sunday at 2 a.m. So that was the thought when we go from standard daylight savings time that we would take them down at that point. But it's really your call. I mean, if you want us to leave them up or take them down, that's, you know, and then the thought of leaving them up longer was when people come home from work and lights it up. But some of the other things that Farron and I have talked about just in the last couple of days or so, as a result of those conversations is to possibly put additional lights on the palm trees. I don't know if you've ever seen lights that on palm trees that are halfway up, and they really accentuate the top of the trees, and maybe doing something along those lines. So but to accent a little bit more, we're looking into things. I know Farron's got a lot of great ideas, so that's kind of where we're going, and it's we are planning on removing them beginning a week from whenever the contract get out, but a week from this coming Sunday.
Good, then I won't make a point about the bolt that's been out for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just was curious. I think that's probably a good idea, but I wouldn't put them up in September when the time changes back. Okay. Virgil, how are you?
All right.
I'm doing okay. What do you got for us? Is that parallel to Cherry Hills? Is that what that is?
That is correct.
Okay.
And so what we did is we used expense dollars. It didn't cost us very much. It was about $1,400 to repair it. So that's what we did rather than replace the. The next one is going to be the new molds. These are the molds for the biosolids areas that we purchased. This one is named TIC. Each one has a different name to it. These are a lot better technology. On them, the paddles underneath them as they move around. It's almost like running a tractor through the farmland. This is the other one called Track. And so they're working very well for us. This is the, I wanted to show you this picture. We have our name. We had to have some made because sometimes sewer manholes crack and they break. And so what we had to do is order some. So we ordered some with the town of Discovery Bay's name. This is the UV structure. On the UV ultraviolet, we had to remove a lot of concrete. And then what we had to do is fill it back up with almost like shotcrete in a way to fill up so we could. This is the project that we filled in. And these are the structures where we put the UV on. These are the UV channels, banks, actually, we call them. These are the new ones. This is the older side. These are the control panels that we have that sit out there. We put the metal cover on the board, give us approval. This is the hydraulic. This particular system uses hydraulics to clean.
that was really similar to the new system they just put in Auburn that we saw when we were up there, isn't it?
Very similar.
It looked a lot like where we were up there, right?
Very similar. This is a bypass. We had to put in these pumps to bypass the flows coming from this process here going to the UV. It looks like a snake, and there's a lot of confusion there, it looks like. And so we had to bypass the flows while they were constructing it. And these are the 14-inch pipes that we had put in there as part of our bypass. This is the main, one of the main bolts that we had put in. Next shot's going to show you some of the valves. We had to shut down the system to do the bypass in order to do this right here. This is well number six. This is where we brought in a drilling rig from Nevada to go down 400 feet down to drill that. You can see how tight it is between the building and the storage tank in order to get this work done. This is the platform that they do this, where the hole was going straight down from here down. This is some of the piping that they use to come in and go down and do the drilling. You can see it pulling up a 40-foot piece and bringing it in. This is just another angle of it. This is the shaker. What that does is it's shaking out the, separating the grit from the water. And so as you're trenching, you have to use a lot of water to go down there. So what we're trying to do is remove the dirt from that. It fills up when we put it in a dump truck and we take it over to the sewer plant. This is the outer edge. This went down about 80 feet down. This is 4 feet. Sorry, I'm going to go back. I can't be ready. This is about 4 feet. This starts to be 32, then this is about 30 down to 16. In between here is filled up with concrete. This is the pedestal that got built around those three individual pipes that you saw. These are the casings that go down into the well, and this is the motor and the what we call the poles that go all the way on the bottom of that well. This is them assembling the whole thing, and this is the top part. It comes down and assemble it in 20-foot sections.
Thank you. Any questions from the board for Virgil? Comments or questions, queries from the public? Okay, thank you, Virgil. Appreciate that.
Joe, you have a question, Joe?
Well, yeah, I did want to ask Virgil. Was there a plan to install a fourth filter to handle the full capacity of the
4-6?
So, in order to maybe answer your question, filters govern the flows that how many wells you can have on at one time concurrently. And so if we had added another filter, it's growth inducing, meaning that we could possibly add more growth capacity to the overall system. And we did not want to travel down that pathway because we didn't have any CEQA information to really back that up yet. Put in the well primarily as a backup for well 1B or one of the other major production wells. And so in essence, your five wells cannot run consecutively at any one time unless you added another filter. Then all five wells can run at the same time. So currently today, you can only run four wells. The other wells just as a backup.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else, Joe? Okay. General Manager's Report.
Thank you. I have two real quick items. One is that I'd like to give you a little quick status update on the contract negotiations with Veolia. We are meeting again on Friday. We hope that this will be our next to last meeting, and I am pushing to have this on the next board agenda for approval for the contract. So that's our goal on that. The second item is an agenda forecast sheet that I put together with Carol. We call it the blue sheet, and what we're going to be using this for internally is to track board items so that things don't fall through the cracks and that sort of thing, routine items, things that are on a regular agenda. And I will include this every 2 weeks. I'll be sending out a copy of this to the board as well, so you get a copy, you kind of see what's happening. It doesn't have a lot on it right now because we just started it, but I'm sure within the next couple of months it'll start to get populated pretty well. The other two items I had we discussed with respect to the splash pad ribbon cutting and the lights at the front entrance, so that's all I have tonight. Unless you have any other questions.
It's March. Weren't we promised a 10-year forecast plan in March?
No, it's still kind of early March.
Okay.
Today's only
update.
March 2nd.
I guess I'm looking for an update on that.
You're referring to the...
The master plan.
The master plans, yes. We were told that we would have them in March. And when we tried to define the date...
Obviously, I'm being facetious because it's, what, the 3rd or whatever, 2nd, whatever it is. But how are things come along with that is what I want to know.
Very well.
Good? Okay.
We had some slight setbacks, meaning that...
In information gathering,
what we're trying to do is we're doing some computer modeling, primarily with the water flow.
Sure.
And so what we did is we went to the corners of the outskirts of Discovery Bay, let's say Centex, Discovery Bay Southwest. We took a fire hydrant there, opened it up wide open, put a what we call a pedo test on that to see what's the flow we were getting. We had somebody stationed at both water treatment plants to see what pumps came on, how many gallons were being pushed out to the system, at what PSI. And then we did that at 7 or 8 different spots within Discovery Bay. We went to Old River Elementary School, which is the far end of Discovery Bay, and we did that at 2 different hydrants out there just to get a reading, because your 2 water treatment plants, one here and one on Newport, has to sense the water pressure is going down, and by the time it senses it, there could be a long delay. So we wanted to get a feel for what is that delay factor. So in the study, they may come back and said, you know what, at a certain part of Discovery Bay, we may have to put a sensor there. When it reaches 50 PSI, you'll have to send a signal back to the treatment plants, start boosting the water so folks don't recognize any water pressure change. You know, going down and then all of a sudden coming back up, that type of thing. So anyway, we on our computer modeling, we had some issues where somewhere around seal and standpoint, we feel we may have a valve closed because modeling isn't coming out right in the way it flows. And based on what we saw and what we recorded from the water treatment plants, when we did things at the end of Discovery Bay Boulevard at the marina, we should have saw more action taking place here and being supplied by Newport, but we weren't seeing the supply by Newport, so we feel there's something throttled down causing the flow. So, anyway.
Little things like that.
Just little things like that.
Okay, right. Thank you, Virgil. Anything else, Rick? Dan?
Good evening, President, board members, members of the public. Tonight, my report is focused on what your parliamentary procedures are.
Mm-hmm.
Under your bylaws, at the end of your bylaws, there is a catch-all provision that basically says your parliamentary procedures, unless you have anything else adopted to the contrary, will be Robert's Rules of Order. That's your fallback. So if you have within your bylaws or other policies, you say, this is how we're going to do things. If an instance comes up and you do not have a rule, your fallback is Robert's Rules of Order.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know what Robert's Rules of Order is. In fact, I hear many people espouse that Robert's Rules of Order applies, yet they have no clear indication of what it is. Here it is. It's over 600 pages long.
They obviously weren't raised Presbyterian, otherwise you would know what the Robert's Book of Rules is.
Robert's Rules of Order actually came out of the feudal system in England, where they put together a parliamentary rule.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting to read. When you read it, you'll find that there are many things that are in it that make no sense with a publicly elected body. In addition, there are things in here that many people don't even realize are part of Robert's Rules of Order. For instance, have you ever wondered where the rule of a filibuster came from? Here it is.
Just wondering that.
Here it is. Well, it's lucky for you to come tonight. There's a whole host of issues and procedures in here that really, from the experience of my clients and my colleagues and I, really have no place in a public meeting. But the biggest reason why this is coming up tonight is this is not user-friendly for the average elected person and members of the public who want to understand how things work. And for years, there wasn't anything to replace this unless you went to the arduous task of putting together your own rules, until California League of Cities came up with a 5-page rules of procedure called Rosenberg's Rules of Order. I am presenting this to you tonight. I'm not asking for any action at all. But I'm bringing this to your attention with a suggestion that the board consider amending its bylaws to replace Robert's Rules of Order as your fallback parliamentary procedures, to use Rosenberg's. And when you look at Rosenberg's, it deals with, in essence, what you folks do and what city councils and boards of supervisors do, and that is how you do motions, how you recess, how you adjourn, things of that nature. It doesn't talk about filibusters. It doesn't talk about order of the day. It doesn't deal with any of that. From my experience, this is the stuff that most people understand happens during a meeting, and it can be followed, and it's easy to access, and this is available online through the California League of Cities website. Now, this would be your fallback parliamentary procedure. So I would encourage you all before our next meeting to review this when you have some time. And if there's anything in there that just doesn't really sit right with you and that maybe there should be a change, we can do that.
Do you have copies of those of that for each member of the board?
That is in your agenda packet, sir.
I knew that. It's right here. There it is. Got
yes.
It.
So I'd be happy to answer any questions. I'm expecting a lot more feedback at our next meeting. And the procedure that I'm suggesting that we do is, you know, at our next meeting, get comments from all of you and then direction on preparing an amendment to the bylaws and any other policies that you may want to revise into this for a third meeting.
Any question? Brian? Brian, you like to filibuster. You may not like to go up to this.
I like
that. Any comments?
Yeah, I do. I've got a couple things.
Okay.
One of the issues for me is not so much whether we use Rosenberg's or we use Roberts. I think what's happened here, and I'm speaking because I'm as guilty as anybody and probably more guilty. We've run the meetings in a relaxed manner. We've let the rules fly out the window. And frankly, the reason we're having this discussion is because the meeting's right ahead. And again, I'm as guilty as anybody. I mean, I have spoken up when I shouldn't have spoken up, and I've carried on conversations with people when I shouldn't have done it, just like everybody else has. I believe that this board needs to have parameters on how we're going to run a meeting. And I think that we have to stick to it. And if, for instance, is I would prefer, I believe the proper way of doing this when an agenda item comes up is that we go out to the public before the board ever discusses it, because that's why the public's here. They look at the agenda and they want to see what this item is. Let's get the views of the public. Let the board discuss it. Once the public has got it, spoke on the item, they don't get up again. And there's no one more thing or two more things I want to get up again. And if we're going to do that, and we have to do it with everybody. The 3 minutes, the getting up at the beginning of the meeting, the 3 minutes of public comment, wonderful. At the end of the 3 minutes, there should be no dialogue between this board and the person standing at that podium, period. If we choose to have dialogue with one person, we should have dialogue with every person that comes up. All I'm getting is I think that we need to tighten this ship up, and I think that we need to run the meetings under one guideline and stick to it.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure that that is really the reason that we're talking about that here tonight. I think it's for another reason, but it falls into that same category. And if that's I believe we have policies in place that address all those things already in the handbook. So I guess what you're saying is just be more familiar with the handbook and operate things.
And operate things. I mean, I think it's time to take the – I mean, I appreciate the fact that we've had a lax attitude. Let people come in as kind of a give and take, but it's gotten out of hand. And I think that at this point that you should take control of the meeting again and it should go back to me.
I've tried to do that a few times. Anyway.
You came close.
Understood. I mean, all you can do is threaten to shut the meeting down, right? I mean, what else can you do?
If that's what it comes down to. I mean, if somebody gets up and will not sit down, and we had this happen at the last meeting, but I don't blame him because we had allowed other people to get up and do it. So I guess the point I'm making is, before we could tell the person who got up at the last meeting to sit down, which he tried to do to get him to sit down, his feeling was, why should I when the guy in the back didn't have to, the guy over there didn't have to? And he's probably right. So we have to pick a starting point and say, look, as of today, this is the rules, and this is what the rules are going to be. And if somebody does what happened there and refuses to sit down, we'll have a review of the meeting.
I'm all for it. Ray, anything?
No.
Okay. Did you have any more, Mark? I'm sorry.
No, okay.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm all for it. Thank you. Do you have anything more?
Well, if I can just comment on what Director Simon was raising. Rosenberg's Rules of Order does kind of address that. It's been my experience from all of the public entities that I've represented that they follow this formula. When the item comes up, staff or whoever is bringing the item gives a report. Then the elected officials ask questions they don't discuss. And then the public is given an opportunity to comment. And then the public comment for the item is then closed when public comment's been completed. And then at that point, it's brought back to the elected officials to discuss and possibly take action. So I think that's in essence what you were talking about. Rosenberg's Rules of Order basically say this is how you should do it. It doesn't establish it as a rule. You can establish it as a rule. That's the type of thing that I'm hoping will stimulate more discussion or any ideas when we meet and address this issue at our next meeting. So please bring that up.
So, yes, Ray, I'm sorry.
Can I, now that you, what you just brought up about the public, okay, I'm not quite sure I think that totally works. Here's an example. Say I ask for something, an agenda item to put on the agenda, and it says something's it's not straightforward. I have to explain what I wanted. So do I do that first and then the public?
Okay,
that's when the public then.
Okay. And now we're moving towards exactly what you're saying we shouldn't be doing, because this item is not on the agenda for discussion tonight. So we should actually put this on the next agenda where we can discuss these rules and those things.
We can discuss it.
It is on the agenda. We can discuss. I'm just not asking any action.
That's the key, and I think that if we study this and then come back, and I don't know if we're going to establish policy other than have a clear understanding of how the board wants to run the meetings. And we should have some dialogue, and it should be an agenda item so we can have some thought behind it and some order to it. Do you have anything else, Council?
No, sir.
Thank you for that presentation. I appreciate it. Any comments from the public on that? Okay. We have correspondence. We have public record requests, and we're at the point for future agenda items. Chris, do you have anything? Brian? Mark? Ray? Thank you. I would adjourn the regular meeting of the Right on Alarm. That's good. of the board, and I'm going to turn it over to council to make sure we handle properly the next part of this procedure. We're going to move into a closed session at this point.
Thank you, Chairman. Board of Directors is now going to adjourn into closed session regarding item O. There is no facts or circumstances for disclosure purposes. Thank you.
Then I would ask the premises to be vacated at this point, please.
I can't believe we would have done it.
Good.
Hey, just to let you know that Renee's dad has a problem. The fact that it happened yesterday, it was the same day as
on the bottom. Oh.